Be upstanding for Laura. Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30. Since we spoke last week, beloved Tingle, there's been an endless amount of discussion about the Brittany Higgins issue. It ain't going away.
It's not going away, Philip, and it's probably going to expand because, you know, Brittany Higgins is not the only person involved. Brittany Higgins is not the only person who's been assaulted, harassed, bullied, whatever.
I know we've got to tread carefully here, and we are not going to
allegedly.
Sorry, we're not going to repeat names that are apparently being bandied about at the moment, but
allegedly.
We're now up to three women who have made claims about the same bloke.
That's
Guinness Book of Records.
Four. There's another one today. But the fourth one is only claiming that he groped her leg under the table. Not that he allegedly sexually assaulted or raped her.
Oh, my God. Now we've got reports or inquiries everywhere. We are surrounded by inquiries.
That's right. And allegedly, these four women who are allegedly claiming that one person allegedly did something to them is one thing. But we actually also, there are four reviews going on that have been ordered by the Prime Minister, either into the culture of the Liberal Party, into what actually happened when the original Brittany inquiry, Brittany allegations were raised, into all sorts of other things, Philip.
Well, I'm just looking. Let's review the reviews. There's a bipartisan review of Parliament House's workplace culture being put together by Birmingham to be led by an independent woman.
Very independent, yep.
Someone of the calibre of Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins, or perhaps her predecessor Elizabeth Broderick. Liberal MP Celia Hammond has been asked how to improve Liberal Party culture. I didn't know they had a culture, but, you know.
Well, they clearly do, but it's not necessarily one you'd sort of think was particularly attractive.
Senior public servant Stephanie Foster, looking at establishing a new structure to deal with these sort of complaints. But my favourite is that the PM's department chief is looking at who knew what when, and we know how good he's been in the past.
Well, I think the interesting thing, Philip, was the Prime Minister today was not only reflecting on these reviews, but was saying that they might not actually be public in terms of their actual findings. So, look, it's become a bit of a meme, really, that you have these reviews, and as a result of that, you don't actually have to say anything in the meantime, because you and all your ministers say, well, that's subject to review, so I can't comment. And then you say, oh, well, we don't actually commit to publishing or otherwise broadcasting the outcomes of these reviews.
One of the Prime Minister's reactions was that, well, everyone, both sides of politics do it, and I guess there's truth in that, but it's hard to imagine them fumbling this particular news cycle with less aptitude.
Well, look, it's true that people on all sides of politics behave badly in this regard, but yes, I mean, we are talking about the Prime Minister, who is known universally as Scotty from marketing, and it's not really, really going all that well. That they don't seem to have found a way of killing this off, and that's because it is a very widespread issue. There are lots of people who are going to talk. One of the issues in all of this is that the more that time goes on, the more it is quite clear that a lot of people knew about this or were involved in it, and and so many people, whether it's Parliament House security guards, the Federal Police, various ministerial staffers, they've all been dragged into it, and it's not going to just go away.
Laura, you're not exactly new to Canberra, are you? You've been there for a bit of a while. Has the culture among political staffers changed over time? Are they perhaps younger and less experienced?
Look, I don't think that they're necessarily younger. If you look at the age of the staffers in the Hawke office, who were sort of they weren't the first generation of ministerial staffers, Philip, but by any stretch of the imagination, but they were the first generation, I think, where policy was starting to be made in ministerial offices, and you had this really bright young generation of people coming in who are really making a big impact. I think the interesting thing about this is that what happened was we had what is called the MOPS Act, which is the the Members of Parliament Staff Act, which set up a whole different regime for...
I'm sorry, the MOPS Act, I love it.
The MOPS, it's good, isn't it? Members of Parliament Staff Act. And it
was that the MOPS Act a new broom?
It was a new broom, but not necessarily one that's ended up cleaning anything up, because it was set up to sort of look over the conditions of employment of staff. Now, for example, one of the things that happens now under the MOPS Act is that everybody gets sacked under the MOPS Act after every term of parliament. So it becomes quite lucrative. You get sacked every 3 years, you get a payout, and then you get re-employed. But that means that's the first of a series of incentives that puts you under the control of the guy who, or girl, you know, in more limited circumstances, who employs you. You have a probationary period in which you can get sacked if you don't comply. You don't sort of enjoy, if you like, the normal circumstances and experiences of being an employee under the Fair Work Act. Basically, you are at the mercy of the person who has employed you, and brackets the political party that has employed you, and it's particularly bad for women. They don't have any external complaints process as such, except to the Department of Finance. And whether it's sexual harassment or just bullying, over the next few days, I'm hoping that at 7:30 we will explode this a little bit, but you don't have the opportunity to get out there and say, look, I'm being really badly harassed here, I'm being really badly treated, and we need some protection.
Laura, I am probably the only person you know, if not the only person in the known universe, who has no involvement whatsoever with Facebook. Should I be upset that Australia has been kicked out?
Well, Philip, I'm a bit like you. I think we're a couple of old fuddy-duddies here. But I know that there are generations, including those that contain my daughter, who essentially get most of their news via Facebook. They sort of link into Facebook, and they link in via Facebook to news websites like the ABC, which is very, very, a very good thing to be linked into. And so if you cut off Facebook's links to news, they lose their links to the real world, i.e. people who are trying to tell them objectively what is happening. All they end up seeing is what might be classed as, well, fake news, really. And I think this is quite a significant thing, because younger people don't read news. Older people who have very strong prejudices don't read news on their own websites. They read it via Facebook, which is basically via a very channeled view of what the news is.
Josh Frydenberg, Mark Zuckerberg, who's going to blink?
I don't know, Philip. That's a phrase that I don't use all that much, but I think it's really interesting. I think this has become a real test case for news around the world. Australia has taken a very strong stance. It's not clear to me who will blink. I think it's become a matter of pride for Australia that it won't blink, but it's backed in that, or the government is backed in that, by the fact that they're taking a position that News Limited likes. And as a result, I think all the incentives will be for the Morrison government to stand its ground on this, and that will make it very tricky for Facebook.
Having been described as a fuddy-duddy on my own program by someone I've always regarded as a friend, I have to ask you this. Is Google a goodie or a baddie?
Well, Google is being presented as a real goodie because it's basically agreed to pay money to the existing media organisations for news content. And I think essentially it's probably being a goodie, as in it's conceding that there is a material benefit to it in providing links to news organisations, and that's whether they're goodies or baddies in themselves.
Because ITA is very kind to the ancient broadcaster, she made me a cake for my 30th anniversary. She's also arranging for me to have a jab. And in fact, I can see the nurse is approaching. They'll have to wait until I've finished talking to Angus Grigg. But how's the rollout going for you? You won't get a jab till Christmas.
Philip, what are you saying?
I'm ancient, sure. So I'm on the sharp end.
I have to wait till everybody else of my age group waits. So it may be a little while yet.
Is it a political triumph for the man from marketing?
Look, I think it's doing as well as it can be expected. I don't think it's a triumph as such. I think people feel vaguely safe about what's happening with the jabs, but I don't think it's sort of a complete success because there are concerns about vaccines. He hasn't been able to persuade people that it's all safe on the one hand, because there are a lot of conspiracy theorists and he hasn't closed them down. But he's probably doing okay on it, which is reflected in the polls, which show that despite what's been happening with all the allegations about sexual misconduct, he's still doing okay in the polls.
Laura, always a pleasure. I'm going to have my jab. Damn it, I'm going to do it on air just to be inspirational. I'm getting a lot of emails from anti-vaxxers. God, they're ratbags. That was Laura Tingle, and this is Ali Nell on Radio National.